Morning scripture reading comes out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of the works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Good morning. Good to be back again. It's good to see everybody. It's good to be able to look at people that aren't in masks and blue gowns. Our week was a rather hectic one. Started about 4 o'clock in the morning a week ago today when we got a call that Cindy's mom had fallen at Willowbrook. She fell flat on her face, and she looked like she'd been hit by a truck. And they were real concerned when the ambulance came to pick her up, and they thought, well, we would have taken her to Delaware Hospital, but she needed to be in the trauma unit. So God was with us, and he was with her, because even though she was certainly banged up, there's nothing broken. And the doctors that came into the trauma unit, they redid some of the scans because they said she's got to be hurt, and she really wasn't. So I guess God certainly was watching over her. And until Friday afternoon late, we were basically living at Riverside, and she got good care. But while she was there, she also got COVID. So that complicated everything. She's still in an isolated unit now, although she's back at the nursing home at Willowbrook. We're getting close to getting her back. So, but appreciate your concern and your prayers. Got several messages from people wanting to know how things were going, and things are going okay. So we know that there's a ways to go. We celebrated her 95th birthday in the trauma unit. Didn't really plan to do it that way, and she couldn't eat the cake because it had to be pureed. So at any rate, this is a birthday to remember or to forget, one or the other. But we appreciate your prayers and your concerns. Turn with me, if you will, back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. I want to read through those verses again, since this is just a short reading. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In this text, Paul tells us three important things about our salvation. The first one being that man cannot save himself. You know, the human race is certainly a very proud species. We like to believe that there isn't anything that we cannot accomplish through determination of will, strength, and effort. Many people think that if we just try, we can do anything. And man has proven to be pretty resourceful. We have compassed the globe. We have put a man on the moon, put men on the moon. We have harnessed nature. We have conquered diseases. Man has been able to go a long way in the process of doing what God has destined us to do, and that was to subdue the earth and bring it under subjection. Many of us would regard our own lives as examples of success, because we have been able, individually, to accomplish a lot of things. It may be that we have overcome poverty in our life, or sickness, or handicaps. We have dealt with failure or an unhappy childhood, and gone on to accomplish many great things. It's true that man has the capacity to accomplish more in this life than most of us would ever dream. But there is one thing that man will never be able to do by himself or for himself, and that is save his own soul. Now, many people seem to have the idea that salvation is based upon our own goodness. And if we just work hard enough at doing good and being good, that we will earn our way to heaven. There are some people who think, and I think this was kind of the way the Pharisees felt in Jesus' day, that if we just lived a perfect life, which we can't, then we would be good too good not to save. But that's not what the Bible teaches. In verse 9, when speaking of our salvation, Paul said that it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. No one deserves to go to heaven because we have all sinned, as Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 23. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That sin makes us unworthy of salvation. No one can earn their way to heaven. About 20 years ago or so, we were living in Delaware the first time we lived in this area. I remember hearing about a man in Obetz who had been at the minimum security prison down there, and he basically had just walked away. He had moved into another community in another state, and there he lived undetected for more than 40 years. He had made a new life for himself. He became, in this new life, really a model citizen. He was involved in many good and benevolent activities, but that did not change the fact that he was a criminal and that he was destined to be punished for his crime. And so when they got him back, he was prosecuted again. He had to finish his sentence. His new life had not changed anything. He was still guilty of crime, and he still was deserving of punishment. Well, in the same way, a sinner cannot extricate himself from a single sin. We cannot do enough good in our life in order to make up for one sin that we have committed. I was watching a television program on PBS a year or so ago, and it was about religion in America. And so it was a pretty interesting program. It was pretty eye-opening to see some of the different attitudes and thoughts that people had about religion in America. The reporter was interviewing a fundamentalist evangelical minister, and he was really decrying the minister's stand that one cannot be saved by their own good works. The reporter said, "Do you mean to tell me that a person could give himself totally, unselfishly towards helping others?" And he gave a couple of examples, like Albert Schweitzer, Mother Teresa. And he said, so a person could devote his entire life to helping others, to doing good, and that still would not assure him of a home in heaven. Well, there were certain things that the minister said that I did not agree with, but what he had to say about salvation was the truth. It's biblical. He said, no matter how much good an individual has done in this life, he cannot be saved without the blood of Jesus. And so salvation is not something that we can do for ourselves. It is not of works. If man could save himself, it would have been a tragic mistake for Jesus to have shed his blood on the cross. But in verse 8, Paul said that salvation is not of yourself. Without God, we would not know what to do or even where to turn to bring about our salvation. That knowledge is not in us. The prophet Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 said, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. If a man could save himself, then God would be indebted to man instead of man being indebted to God. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul said, now unto him that worketh, the reward is not from grace, but out of debt. But our works are not what saves us. Salvation is not something that we can accomplish for ourselves. Salvation is something that God, out of love, has rendered to us. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. Good works alone do not prove the condition of one's heart. The Pharisees did a lot of good works. They fasted and prayed and gave alms to the poor. But why did they do it? Well, in Matthew, the sixth chapter, Jesus said that that the things that they were doing was unacceptable to God, unpleasing to God, because the good things that they were doing were being done to be seen of men. They really thought that the Pharisees believed that if they lived this nearly perfect life, or this life that appeared to be perfect from the outside, that they would be saved because of their own goodness. They would be saved because of their own greatness. But Jesus said that they were hypocrites, and said that the only reward that they would receive would not be a heavenly one, but it would be the attention that they got on earth, because that was their motive. That's why they did the good that they did. Whenever someone boasts about the good that they do, in public or in private, it's a pretty good indication of why they are doing it. In Luke, the 18th chapter, Jesus told the parable about the Pharisee who even filled his prayers to God with boasts. He boasted in his prayer to God, and he said, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." Well, God was not impressed, nor was God pleased. Whenever we fill our thoughts with what I have done for God instead of what God has done for me, whenever we think of our greatness instead of God's goodness, then we are being misled into thinking that salvation is something that is earned. But we cannot save ourselves. Salvation is not of works, lest anyone should boast. Well, a second thing that Paul tells us about salvation is how we are saved. We're not saved by works, lest anyone should boast, but we are saved by grace. He says in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved." You know, those who speak of salvation by works speak of a salvation that is earned. If we believe that, then we will always be insecure about our salvation. There have been people I have known through the years that have lived very active, involved Christian lives. They have done everything that they knew to do to be faithful to God, but they still wondered about whether or not their salvation was secure. They wondered about whether or not that they had really done enough to be deserving of salvation. That's the problem, because we cannot do enough to be worthy of our salvation. And so if we think that we're being evaluated and our life is being judged, that we're going to be saved on the basis of the good that we have done, then we're always going to be teetering between the emotions of pride and fear. Because when you are doing everything that you know to do and more, you'll be proud of yourself and think that you're worthy of salvation. However, when you fail or fall short of being everything that you should be and doing everything that you should do, and we're all going to fall short, we're all going to fail and fall short, then we're going to end up dealing with guilt and shame of knowing that we have not been everything that God would have us to be, and that we are not worthy of salvation. And that's why it is such a blessing for us to know that we are not saved by our works, we are saved by grace. The New Testament does not speak of salvation that is earned. It speaks of salvation that is by grace. In verse 8, "For by grace you are saved." The definition of grace is the undeserved or the unmerited favor of God. Or, as we may put it more simply, grace is a gift. The word grace or gift perfectly describes all of God's dealings with man. All that I have or am or ever hope to be, I owe to the grace of God. By grace, God gives us all that is needed to sustain and enjoy life. It is by the grace of God that He provides us with sunshine and rain and the harvest of grain. It is by the grace of God that we have air to breathe and food to eat. And this is something that God gives, and He gives it to all men, not based upon their worthiness, but based upon God's love for us. And He gives all of these blessings to saint and sinner alike. And so it is not because we are deserving of these things or that we are earning these things. Because of God's grace, He has given us the beauty of His world to enjoy. Because of His grace, or with His grace, or by His grace, He blesses us with health and comfort, pleasure and love. What have we done to be deserving of these blessings? Nothing. They are bestowed upon us out of love. They are by the grace of God. But man has a greater need than the physical necessities of life. Man needs forgiveness of sin. We need salvation of our soul. Once again, God met the needs of man by His grace. By His grace, God loved us. And God's love for us is the testimony of God's goodness, not of our goodness. There's absolutely nothing about man that makes us worthy of God's love. What have God's dealings with man been like? You know, God has always blessed man abundantly, blessed man with the things that we need. So when God created Adam and Eve, He put them into a perfect home in the Garden of Eden. Well, what did they do in return for what God had done? They listened to Satan. They defiled themselves in sin. They disobeyed the one restriction that God placed on them. God had given them everything. He had given them everything that they could need to have a perfect life here on earth. And in return, they rejected Him. When God allowed the human race to grow and prosper, in return for that, in the day of Noah, people had responded to the point where they were thinking on evil continually. Again, God had, by His grace, given mankind everything that he needed. He had blessed man in every way, and man responded to that by turning to evil, a life that was filled with evil thoughts. When God took Moses into Mount Sinai to give the first written law, what was man doing? Well, man was making a golden calf and worshiping it. When God sent Jesus into the world to teach men and to save them from their sins, they crucified Him. Each of us, in the same way, have forsaken God to follow after sin, but God still loves us. By His grace, God sent Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins by dying on the cross. Now, which of us could claim that we are worthy of God's love? That we deserve what Jesus did when He died on the cross for us? Which of us could say that we deserve for Jesus to be beaten and mocked and spat upon and nailed to the tree? None of us are deserving. It was all by the grace of God. Romans chapter 5, beginning verse 6, Paul said, "For when we were still in sin, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So by His grace, God made arrangement for our salvation. Before the world was even formed, God knew that because He had given us free will. God knew because we were imperfect, that we would make the wrong choices, that we would sin. And so God made a plan for our salvation. God cannot save us in our sins, but He determined even before the world was formed that He would provide a way for us to be saved from our sins. It was Jesus that first announced this great plan, what the gospel plan would be. When He said in Mark 16 and verses 15 and 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved." What did we do to be deserving of a second chance? Why should God be willing to forget the fact that we have rejected Him and disobeyed Him in sin? Nothing. It is nothing that we are deserving of. It is nothing that we have done. It is by the grace of God that we are saved. There's a wonderful hymn that we sing at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And so we are saved by the grace of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so we are saved by grace. But Paul never said, nor is it said anywhere in Scripture, that we are saved by the grace of God alone. In verse 8, Paul said, "For by grace you are saved through faith." Even a brief study of the Bible will show you that God has always had There have always been three elements, three parts in saving faith. The first one being that we must believe that God is. Second part being that we must obey the commands that God gives. And thirdly, then, if we truly have faith, then we will expect the reward that God has promised. For example, Noah believed God. When God told him that the world was going to be destroyed with water. Even though there was no history of that, even though Noah had never seen a flood, God told him there would be a flood, and he believed. And the result of believing, having faith, means that we'll do whatever God demands of us. We'll do whatever God tells us to do. And so he obeyed God by building an ark, something else that Noah had never seen, not something else that Noah was learning on the job, so to speak. God was directing him. God was showing him how to build this ark that would save him and his family. And as a result of this, his faith caused him to be obedient, and he had full confidence that God would save him if he obeyed him, that he would save him and his family, which he did. So when we look at the promises of God, the great and precious promises of God, and God has promised us so many wonderful blessings, and yet all of those blessings are tied to these things, that first of all, that we believe Him, and secondly, that we show that we have faith in Him by being obedient to Him. And if we are obedient to the Lord and we do the things that the Lord has told us to do, then we have full assurance that He will render unto us the promises that He has made. There really is no place for doubt in our salvation, because we know that what God has promised us will come to pass, because God cannot lie. We know that His promises are all true. We know that if we are obedient to Him, that we'll be saved. And so we don't have to serve God in doubt. We serve Him with the full assurance that He will give us the salvation that He has promised us in His Word. So God's grace is what makes salvation possible. If He didn't love us, if He wasn't willing to save us, if He hadn't formulated a plan for our salvation, none of us would have any hope. And yet, we are saved by grace. Again, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul said, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men." In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, "By the grace of God, Jesus tasted death for every man." So again, this idea that some have, that because of God's grace, all will be saved by His grace alone. That Jesus did everything that must be done. But we see that since we know that since the grace of God appeared unto all, that all men can be saved. And we know that since Jesus tasted death for every man, that every man has this hope, every man can be saved if they are obedient to the gospel. We are saved by grace, but we are not saved by grace alone. Since the grace of God appeared unto all men and Jesus died for all men, it means that everyone can be saved. But certainly the hope of salvation is based upon our willingness to be obedient. Salvation is a gift, the gift of God. But like any gift, salvation is conditional. We talked about how God has given us the gifts of sunshine and rain and air to breathe and food. It's true that man has done nothing to be deserving of these things, but we must do something to receive them, to receive the benefit of God's blessing of food we must eat, to receive the benefits of God's blessing of water to drink we must drink. We could be surrounded with food to eat and water to drink, but if we did not partake of it, if we did not avail ourselves of those blessings, then we would die. Salvation cannot be earned. It is God's gift to man. Jesus paid for it with his own blood. But to enjoy the benefit of it, we must receive it by faith. To be saved, we must believe what God has promised. We must obey his commandments. And then and only then will we receive the blessing. Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So the first two things in our text shows about salvation is, first of all, that salvation is by grace through faith, and that it is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Well, the third thing that Paul tells us in this text is why we are saved. We are saved to serve. In verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." One reason I've chosen to speak on this passage today is because it is probably one of the most misquoted and abused passages in the New Testament. I heard a preacher one time say, "I'm saved by grace. The good works that I may or may not do as a Christian have nothing to do with my salvation." But that's not what the Lord says, and that's not what Paul is saying in our text. It's true that we cannot be saved by our works, but it is also true that we cannot be saved without them. Salvation is rendered by grace through faith. And it means that we are willing to be obedient to the commandments of the Lord. James chapter 2 gives us the example. He said, if a brother or sister is naked or hungry, and we say to them, "Be warmed and filled," but you don't give to them the things that are needed, then what benefit is it? It has no benefit. Even so, faith, if it does not have works, is dead, being alone. Anyone who would claim that good works are not an integral part of the Christian life has obviously not looked closely at the Bible. Jesus began by setting the example of the attitude that we must have toward works. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for the night is coming when no man can work." In Acts chapter 10 and verse 42, in Peter's second recorded sermon, he summarized the life of Jesus by the simple statement, "He went about doing good." And so Jesus set the example, and we're to be disciples of him. We are to be followers of him. And Jesus spent his life doing his Father's will. Jesus spent his life going about doing good. When Jesus spoke of his kingdom, he spoke of it in terms of work. Again, in Matthew 20 and verse 1, he said, "Behold, the kingdom is likened to a man, a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38, he said, "Pray the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And so the kingdom of God is presented to us as a place of work, a place of doing the Father's will. When the apostles taught about the purpose of the church, they spoke in terms of work. Titus 2 and verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might render unto us from all to redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works. So what is it that makes the people of God a special people, God's own special people? The thing that makes us, endears us to God, is the fact that we are zealous of good works. James 1 and verse 27, we are told that pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. In fact, much of what is said about the final judgment of man is directly related to the works that we have performed. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, Jesus speaks of judgment by telling us the parable of a shepherd dividing his sheep from his goats. He divided them on the right hand and the left hand. The saved were on the right hand. Those who were lost were on the left hand. And to those who were saved, those on the right hand, he said, I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. In prison, and you came unto me. To those who were lost, to those who were on the left hand, had not. He said of them, I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you did not give me to drink. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick, and you did not visit me. In prison, and you did not come unto me. And both those who were saved and those who were lost questioned, Lord, when did we ever see you when you were hungry or thirsty or naked or sick or in prison? And Jesus' response was, inasmuch as you did or did not do this unto the least of these, my brethren, you did or you did not do it unto me. And so the works that we have done are very much a part of our judgment, will be very much a part of our judgment. In Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul tells us that God will render unto every man according to his deed, to those who are patient in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. You know, we have no reason to be unprepared to stand before God in judgment. There are some people who act as if there's no way that we can know what God's expectations of us will be. And yet in this parable, he very clearly states that we are to be about his business, that we are to be about doing his work. And when we read that, we can and we should identify with that. Because in our lives, quite frequently, we become aware of someone who has a great need. And if we have the ability to help, and we have the opportunity to help, then we have a responsibility to help. I wonder how many times we read about how Abraham was visited by angels unaware. How many times do you think that we become aware of someone who's in need and we don't even stop to think about the fact this is the way that the Lord tests us. This is the way the Lord tests our faith and our faithfulness. And so we are going to give an account for whether or not we have been actively doing the Father's work. Not that we are saved by our works, but we are definitely tried and tested according to our works. So what is the connection between grace and works? Why do Christians work? We work not to be saved. We work because we have been saved. Now, don't misunderstand. Christians have a duty to work in the kingdom of God, and we will be eternally lost if we don't. But the only work, that God finds pleasing are the ones that are done because we love and wish to be obedient to God. God is preparing us to be his workmen. Paul talks about the fact that because of his sin, he was the chiefest of all sinners. And it was only by the grace of God that Paul could have been forgiven. Well, how did Paul respond to the grace of God? He responded to God's grace by working. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, by the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am, and his grace which he bestowed on me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than them all. Because Jesus, by his grace, was crucified and gave his life for us, we should in return give our lives for him. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. What was the reason for Paul's sacrifice? He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. When we realize what Jesus paid, when we realize what Jesus did so that we might be saved, then in return, giving ourselves for him is the very least that we can do. Giving our life for him is our spiritual purpose in living. We work because what God has done to save us. In verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God is preparing us to be his workmen. We are his workmanship. He changes us. He, by being obedient to him and by learning his will and by following him, he's preparing us to be able to represent him. He's preparing us to do his work on earth. If we do not use what the Lord has given to us, if we do not grow in His grace and in His mercy, if we do not serve Him in return for what He has done for us, then we become like that tool that becomes rusted and is of no value. The Lord has been preparing us to be His servants here on earth. And as a Christian, if we are not working, we are like that salt that Jesus said was good for nothing but to be tossed out and trodden under the foot of men. We work because we want the Lord to find us worthy. Colossians 1 and verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful to every good work. So, we see that grace and faith and works, they're all necessary part of our salvation. We are saved by grace. God gave us salvation as a gift. Jesus paid for that gift with his blood. But his grace must be accepted by faith. By faith, we must believe in him, obey him, and then if we do and when we do, we will be blessed by him. Once we have been saved by the blood of Jesus, we must then work for him. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, will we be prepared to stand before God to be judged? Have we taken the role that he has given us seriously? We are saved by grace through faith. It is God's gift to us. We're not earning our salvation. We're not worthy of it. We're not deserving of it. But we are living our life in such a way that we show how much we love God and how grateful we are to him for our salvation. This morning, there may be those in our assembly that are giving a second thought, giving a more serious thought to the life that we are all living for Christ. At this time, we're going to extend the Lord's invitation. If there's anyone here that needs to respond to it, we would encourage you to do that as together we stand and as we sing.